Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. A very special welcome to all of you, especially those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you indeed do feel welcome here at Main Street. And if you are a visitor looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. As we pass the attendance pads down the pew, if you will give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would please now pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. If you read the newsletter this week, you'll know that congratulations are in order to you. We were able to meet 100%, to pay 100% of our apportionments this year, so congratulations to you. Wednesday night gatherings will continue this Wednesday night. The meal is at 5:15. Program begins at 6:15. The program this week will be Jan Beatty of the Kairos Prison Ministry. She will be presenting a program. There will be a second option beginning this week as a study group that will be studying Max Lucado's book, Traveling Light. So you have two options of programs. If you plan to attend, please make reservations by either calling the church office or by filling out one of the reservation cards in the pew rack. Again, a reminder, if you had a standing reservation in the fall, those are no longer any good. If you would like to make a standing reservation, you'll need to do so for the spring. So fill out a new card for the spring if you would like a standing reservation. Also, parents of youth are reminded of a meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock in the youth room. Jessica really would like to have all of the parents of youth present for that meeting. Again, that's 5 o'clock this afternoon in the youth room. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Will all who are able please stand for this morning's call to worship? The work of the Creator is visible. The example of Jesus is apparent. The wind of the Spirit is blowing. The Word of God is calling. Let us worship in spirit and in truth.
Ask you to join in the invocation as found in your bulletin. O God, as we join in worship, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. Open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Open our hearts to believe into salvation and righteousness. Open our lips to witness to our living Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'd like to lift up several concerns. Belva Few, as she recovers, Kathy and Bill Nicholson. Kathy recovering from surgery in Charleston, Bill at home. Hank Strock, who is home now but had some heart surgery this past week. Louise Arnold and Ruth Miller, who are in hospice. Now let us remain in an attitude of prayer as we listen to the call to prayer. Now let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come to thank you for the good news of grace, forgiveness, love, and hope. We lean upon your grace. We seek your light and the power to do your will more perfectly. Touch us this day in worship. Encourage us in all senses of the word, and use us to build your kingdom. Lord, we do thank you for this family in Christ, for those who challenge us to grow. Let us never become complacent in our faith and never let small slights build walls between us. We pray your comfort upon those who grieve the loss of loved ones, those who doubt, those who wander back and forth across the boundary of faith. And Lord, we do pray for the world and what we have made of it. We lift up the leaders of the nations of the world that they be more open to the influence of your Holy Spirit. And we pray for your church and all those everywhere who claim the name of Christ. May they walk and live in such a way that we bring you honor and bring the world hope. And now we pray our private prayers. For those concerns we lift up only before you in our hearts in silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children down front now for the children's time today with Shel Dula.
I tell you, what a good-looking group we have this morning. I think they just turned it down. That was good. But what a good-looking group we have this morning. You know, we all have our favorite characters in the Bible. And, of course, Jesus is our favorite character. Jesus is the person that we know the most about and the one that we look to. But what are some other, who are some other people in the Bible that maybe you really like hearing stories about? Can you think of anybody? Okay. Who? Moses. Okay, exactly. Somebody else. You know, it might be King David. You know, we have a lot of stories about King David. Or it might be Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. You know, that story. But anyway, one of my favorite characters we're going to talk about today. One of mine is John the Baptist. Have y'all ever heard of John the Baptist? You heard of John the Baptist? Raise your hand, please. All right. Let's get every hand up. All right. John the Baptist. He's one of my favorites. Now, John the Baptist is a lot different than we are. For example, you agree with that? Okay. Thank you. John the Baptist lived in the wilderness. He didn't have a big home to live in, and he didn't have heat and air conditioning and this type of thing. John the Baptist lived out in the woods. He lived out in the woods. And he didn't have nice clothes. My goodness, all of y'all are decked out today. You look sharp and you look pretty. Give me five, baby. All right. Y'all look so good. John the Baptist, his clothes were made of camel's hair. He didn't have very much clothing to wear. And eating, now I know all y'all going to go home and get a big lunch today, won't you? Mama's going to have fried chicken and rice and gravy and all those things we used to have years ago, but we don't have much. But we're all going to have a good meal when we go home today. John the Baptist ate grasshoppers and honey, and locusts. That doesn't sound real good, does it? But John the Baptist, don't faint over there. Don't faint. It's not that bad. But John the Baptist is one of my favorite characters because God asked him to do certain things, and he did them. He did them. God asked John the Baptist to come and prepare the way for Jesus' coming. See, John was a little older than Jesus. Not much, but a little bit. And he came and prepared the way for Jesus' coming. And the other thing God asked him to do was to baptize Jesus. Now, most of y'all have been baptized, and you've seen little babies baptized. John baptized Jesus. But John did what God asked him to do. And so we want to make sure we do that same thing. God's going to ask us to do things. God's going to want us to do things just like he did John. And we need to try to do our best to do what God would have us to do. It might just be a beautiful smile. Let me see all of you smile. Every person smiling. Every person smiling. That may be what God wants us to do, is just smile. Or it may be that he wants us to do other things. But let's try to do what God would want us to do, just like John the Baptist did. Okay? Will y'all do that for me? All right, if y'all repeat after. Yes, ma'am.
He might want us to go for Gamecocks.
He might want you to go for Gamecocks. He might, but he really wants you to go for the Eagles. But he might be Gamecocks, too. OK. Okay. I'm sure we got some Viking fans in here that won't like that. But that's true. But whatever God wants us to do, let's try to do it. If you'll repeat after me, God, thank you for loving us. Help us to do what you want from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all very much. Hey, how we doing?
Now, let us pass the peace. You have the microphone. Yes, we're going to have a special speaker today, Gus Bergdorf, and he's from the Gideon Ministry, and he's going to be speaking to us about their ministry and how you can get involved.
Perfecto. Perfecto. This was a comment that I heard a few years ago when I went to Santiago, Chile, in Valparaiso and Viña del Mar, Chile, for 15 days at my own expense and on time off with a team of 30 Gideons. As we handed out little Spanish testaments like I have in my hand, we handed out 270,336 testaments in a 15-day period, one testament at a time that you helped provide. And that includes 200 that were stolen off the back of a pickup truck in downtown Santiago when we were going to a college distribution, and all of a sudden we stopped at a stoplight and two thieves ran out and picked up two boxes and ran down an alleyway. We claim Isaiah 55:11 as a foundational verse in this ministry. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. I've often wondered how God has used Isaiah 55:11 on those 200 stolen testaments. During the time I was there, we went into 617 schools, 46 colleges and universities, 21 prisons and jails. We went into various other places that we distribute, hospitals, etc., as we handed out these testaments. But I want to share one that happened in a special place near Viña del Mar. We heard this word, perfecto, when we would go in and offer the children a testament. Talk to the principal. If he looked through the little Spanish testament and he said, perfecto, then that meant it was okay to distribute. We went in one school one day and a heated discussion started between the Gideon from Chile, my English-speaking interpreter, and the principal. And it was all in Spanish, but I remember saying a prayer, Lord, I've been out here almost 2 weeks, and I know when they say perfecto, it's okay to distribute. I prayed to God then, and I said, Lord, there's something different about this school, and I don't know what it is, but please let me hear this word, perfecto. God answered that prayer within just a few minutes as they continued to argue, and he did tell us that we were in a special school. We were in a school in Santiago, actually in Valparaiso, that would have been called an alternative school here in South Carolina, where kids needed to be separated from their regular classes and be put in the alternative school. When we told him what was in this book that would improve their behavior, he said, take all the time you want. I'm happy to share with you that I personally saw 108 children, fifth grade and above, do a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, using the plan of salvation in the back of this little Gideon Testament. 108 souls came to Christ as a result of the placement of this testament in that alternative school. How important is the distribution and placement of God's Word? Gideon's International is an association of business and professional men from evangelical churches, just like Main Street United Methodist, whose sole purpose is to win men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The means to that end is through the placement of His Word in the traffic lanes of life, hotels, motels, schools, colleges, and universities, prisons, jails, hospitals, law enforcement, as well as personal witnessing. And actually, we're the extended arm of your church's missionary work. And I'm happy to report to you that last year, the Gideons placing testaments and Bibles in 184 countries in 85 different languages placed almost 70 million copies of God's Word, one at a time. We're not wholesale distributors. The only wholesale distributors we do is we place them, give the military testaments like I have in my hand that we are placing in Iraq and Afghanistan now, the little camouflage ones. We do give them to the Army chaplains who subsequently give them to the troops. How important is the distribution and placement of God's Word? I want to go, if you would, just for a few minutes as we kind of take a little trip around the world, and I want you to go with me to Vietnam, where a young man named Fred Hanslick was in the 1st Cavalry Division, and he was over there for a few weeks. He was a medic. His unit got overrun. Fred was captured. He spent 4 years in a North Vietnamese prison. He was in the 1st Cavalry Division, as I said. And like any good soldier, he finally escaped one day. The only thing he took into his cell was a little Gideon Testament that he had that served as a resource for him. It was just like that, but a different color. After Fred got back and came on back about 15 years later, he got a letter from Vietnam. He didn't know anybody in Vietnam. He wanted to get out of that place. The letter was from the most brutal communist guard that had tortured and beaten Fred the 4 years that he was in prison. And when he left, he found a little Gideon Testament because Fred had written his name in that testament and, of course, left it when he had a chance to escape. The letter was from the brutal guard who said, "I am coming to the United States, and I want to tell you that after you escaped and found we found the little testament that you had left, that today I used it to learn English, and today I am a Christian pastor in Vietnam." How important is the distribution of God's Word? The pastor came to Florida, where Fred lived. They met face to face, and in the bond of Christ, through that God using that little testament, they reconciled with each other. The pastor did not go back to Vietnam. He was ministering to the Vietnam refugees, but he did not go back because, if you recall, Hurricane Andrew came through in Florida many years ago, and he was actually killed during that time ministering to the refugees. But look at how God used that one particular testament. You know, the Bible is kind of like a parachute. It works best when it's open. Would you agree with that? I can personally agree with that, having been an Army paratrooper and made a few jumps a long, long time ago as a Green Beret. But at any rate, I want to share with you that part of this ministry, too, is personal witnessing, in addition to the places that we place God's Word. And I carry these little personal worker testaments, little brown testaments, with me everywhere I go. And a few years ago, I had an opportunity to, I carry them in my golf bag, too. And I had an opportunity. I was playing down at Pine Lakes Country Club, Golf Club in Myrtle Beach. And they had a guy down there that is out at one of the holes, and he fixes a big pot of stew for you as you come by, and he really puts on a show trying to get a good tip. He calls everybody big dog, where you dogs from, woof, woof, who let the dog out. I mean, he really puts on a show. His name's Perry. And Perry's dressed up as a chef, and he's out there with this big kettle of low country stew. I came up to his hole one day, it's a par 3, number 7, and I came up and he went through the whole thing, and as I got ready to leave, I said, "Perry, I said, I have a gift for you, copy of God's Word." His demeanor went from all this ho ho ha ha to just like this. He looked at me and he said, "Mister, how do you know I need this today?" I said, "Perry, everybody needs the Word of God." And I opened it up and went through the plan of salvation that's in the back of this little testament. And I gave it to him as we had to get in our carts and head on. A few months later, I was back down at Pine Lakes playing the course, came up, the same thing, there was Perry. As I walked up, he looked at me a long way and he said, "You the man." I said, "What?" And Perry reached in his chef's pocket and pulled out the little testament that I had given him, where I had personally witnessed him, inviting him to accept Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And he had said the sinner's prayer and signed his name in that little testament from personal witnessing to him at that point. How important is the distribution and placement of God's Word? Go with me now, if you would, to California, where a beautiful lady named Jillian England was abandoned by her parents on the streets of Los Angeles. She was in a series of foster homes, in which case she was abused and just had a tough life. She had brought a lot of baggage. She was always waiting to be adopted by what she called her forever home, and one day she was. And she was raised in a nice home, but she had so much baggage that she brought into that home that she was a problem child. When she grew up, she became a model for ladies. You might be familiar with Giorgio of Beverly Hills. She became the professional model of Giorgio of Beverly Hills, traveled all around the world of the country, promoting those cosmetics, etc. Every night, she would go back to a hotel, and she would look in the mirror, all dressed up and pretty, and say, "Please, somebody love me," as she took off her makeup. One night, it was just almost too much, and she decided that life was not worth living. So Jillian England took a bunch of pills and some water and wrote a suicide note to her father and said, "This is it. I want to come home, but I don't know the way anymore." And as she reached in the drawer to look for an envelope to put the suicide note in and commit suicide, guess what she found? A Gideon Place Bible. She opened it up, she turned to the help section, started reading the Bible, and God used that Bible to totally change her life. Today, Jillian has her own ministry where she comes into churches and actually puts on a theatrical performance of her testimony. She also was recently elected Mrs. Christian America of the United States. How important is the distribution and placement of God's Word? I want to share one other testimony with you before I close, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's kind of tough to follow Coach Shula, plus the Gamecock comment. That was wild. But I do want you to go with me to Colorado City, Texas, where a young man named Sammy Contreras grew up, and he was a problem child. He started stealing bicycles at 8, stole cars at 15, got into drug business at 21. Sammy Contreras would be placed in jail quite often. One day he was in jail. He was in solitary confinement. The Gideons came by as our prison ministry and offered a little testament. He would always say, "Get out of here. I don't want to see this book of fairy tales. I don't want to see it. Get out of here." One day, Sammy Contreras, being in solitary confinement with several of his buddies, had been playing poker. They took the cards away from him, but Sammy had a great idea. The next Sunday, when the Gideons came by, he said, "Yeah, give me one of those little books." Sammy Contreras took one, gave to all his buddies, said, "We go continue poker." He said, "How?" He said, "Well, let's look through these little numbers besides these names." He said, "I don't recognize any names on here, but I do see a name that says John." He said, "That's Juan in Spanish." Everybody turn to the Book of Juan, tear it out, throw the rest of it away, and we're going to play poker by whomever's the first that finds whatever little number that we read, what's next to that little number. That's the way Google keeps score. This went on for several days until it was Sammy Contreras' time. When Sammy came, guess where he came to the number? John what? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Today, Sammy Contreras is out on lifetime parole. He is the mayor of Colorado City, Texas. He formed a huge church down there. That's a mega church, 3,000 or 4,000 people, particularly to the Hispanic community. on that border city of Texas. How important is the distribution of God's word? In closing, there's three ways that you can support the Gideons. One, pray for our ministry. We are the extended arm of your church's missionary work. And as your missionaries, we are doing that one niche of placing God's word in the traffic lanes of life and getting out the way and let God give the increase. 184 countries, 85 different languages. So I'm giving you a missionary stewardship report today. Secondly, pray for the Gideons to open new doors where new doors can be opened. I'm happy to share with you that we have two what we call camps in mainland China. One is in Beijing, one's in Shanghai. We went in the front door. The Chinese government knows that we're there. But if those can be blessed and God can give the increase, think of what the impact will be of mainland China opening up to the Gideon ministry and what that could do. So pray for the ministry. Secondly, any of you men that would like to join this ministry, there's a ministry within a few miles of this church and where you live and everywhere else. You don't have to go to Santiago, Chile, or anywhere else to do it. There's a ministry, and it's a wonderful ministry. Talk to your pastor. Talk to Pastor Jim, because Gideons become Gideons upon the recommendation of the pastor. Please join Glenn Williams and Baynard Lindler in the two Gideons in this church, and they certainly need more, and they would love to have you. And third is through your financial support. This afternoon, at the end of this, you will have an opportunity to make a contribution to the Gideons, 100%, which goes for the purchase of testaments. None of it goes for any administration of this ministry. We cover that ourselves. So you'll have an opportunity to do that. I also invite you to use the memorial Bible rack there. You have two. You have one in the back and you have one down this hall where you can use the gift that keeps on giving with cards in memory of somebody, cards in thinking of you, or just cards in recognition of a birth of a child, perhaps an anniversary, a birthday, or whatever it might be. But this is the gift that keeps on giving. So, Pastor Jim, thank you for the opportunity to come and share what God's doing through the Gideon ministry. I'd love to come back sometimes maybe and show slides of Chile or be invited to come and chat with you again in some way. This ministry is particularly important to me, and time does not permit for me to share my own personal testimony, but I came to faith in Christ through a little Gideon testament given to me at Davidson College, not when I was a student, but 28 years and 7 months after that, when I was a speaker on campus that day. Up until then, I thought I was a Christian because I went to church. But I was a good example of playing church and was a good example of really not being committed to Christ because I had never done that. But that's another story. But this ministry means a lot to me personally because God works. So thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.
Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns into your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Oh, And standing for our gospel reading this morning, which is found from Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17, page 3 in the New Testament in your pew Bibles. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do yet you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of the Lord, of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's remain standing for our affirmation of faith, followed by the Gloria Patri. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Change of venue this morning. At the early service, Pastor Dennis asked if I might be able to assist him. I said I'd be more than pleased to. However, my talk's going to be a little different than what does baptism mean. A lot of the movies that come out today, you'll have the movie, and then they'll go back and do a prequel or a prelude to that movie so you sort of understand what was going on. Baptism is what they were talking about. Prayer is the prelude. Prayer precedes everything, whether it's a holy, official church function, whether it's an effort of benevolence, a prayer for yourself, a prayer for others. No matter what the circumstances are, everything should begin with prayer. But when do we normally use prayer other than in church? When something goes wrong. Many times we seem to forget that essential idea that prayer is a daily, sometimes multi-daily or multi-times during the day occurrence that allows us to communicate directly with God. Now, you might say it's, for those of us in the computer era, it's a direct email to God. It's a one-on-one situation. It can certainly be shared. But prayers can be private, they can be public, They can be specific. They can be general. They can fit whatever need or circumstance you have. But as was pointed out earlier, it's like a closed Bible. You have to open it and do it to make it most effective. Now, how do we pray? How do you talk to somebody else? The same way. What you're simply doing in prayer is asking God to help assist yourself, others, with your daily lives, with a personal crisis, with an upcoming major event, with conditions in the country. All you have to do is have belief, and most important, trust. You have to believe that God truly answers your prayers. Now, we get confused sometimes because God does things and answers prayers in His time, not in our time. So it causes many people to become frustrated with God. How can God let this happen to me, let this happen to people? We hear that too often. God does answer prayers. He answers all prayers. But God has His plan for us. Prayers give a direct hotline to God to provide Him with additional information, maybe, even though He knows everything. He is omnipotent, of what our concern, what our needs are, what we can do, what we can't do, how we can better help. Prayer allows us to do that. The other thing that prayer does is provide a comfort and a relief for our soul, for our body, and mainly for our spirit. It allows each of us to unburden ourselves and go, as we say in the business world, directly to the source, to get to that bottom line. Prayer is something that we need to do, we need to use much more. Because if we don't do it, it's just like that closed Bible or closed book or anything else. It's not effective, not as effective. We also have a way called intercessory prayer, where we can pray for others, where we can pray for others who may or may not be able or willing to do it themselves. God hears these prayers too, and will react on them and do them in the same time, in His time, as He does ours. Prayer is for you. Prayer is for me. Prayer is for everyone. Prayer firms up, establishes, is the foundation for our belief. Because it indicates that there is someone greater than us who has the capability to understand things that we are not meant to have the capability to understand or to do. Through prayer, all things are possible. By praying, we make it easier for us to be Christians, for the world to be a better place, and for all of us to live a more Christian life. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank You for all the opportunities that You offer us. We hope that we will take the time to seek Your advantage, to make our wishes and desires known to You, to allow You to come into our hearts and to be part of us as we are part of You. Grant us whatever our wishes may be, whether they may seem big or small to you, they somehow will fit in your plan, and you will resolve them. Grant us peace and hope and assurance in life everlasting through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
To remind you that there will be special offering plates available at each exit if you'd like to give to the Gideon Ministry. I'm going to ask my wife to stand and be my proxy at the entrance, and Dave also for having given the message to speak with you as you exit. I'm not feeling very well today, and I'm going to my office. I'll be exiting stage that way. Now for our blessing, our benediction. Lord, bless us with full knowledge of your love. Bless us with full acceptance of your grace and forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ, and bless us with the presence of your Holy Spirit to empower us to love and forgive and continue the ministry of Christ. We have been blessed. Help us be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.